It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up 3 years ago today, the Curiosity rover landed on Mars on a mission to determine if the planet could ever have supported life. We'll ask if it could someday support human life.
First, records made public yesterday show that Governor Scott Walker was one of the subjects of a criminal investigation for misconduct in public office during his time as Milwaukee County Executive, which would have been a felony offense. The investigation, which he previously denied being a target of, involved suspected bid rigging over a county real estate deal.
Walker was never charged with the crime, and the investigation was closed in 2013. This is surfacing now because Walker aide Cindy Archer is suing Milwaukee prosecutors over their investigation.
Governor Walker's presidential campaign has said the release of the information the day before the first GOP presidential debate is politically motivated. Here with us now is WPR State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson. Sean, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So can you spell out the circumstances of this part of the John Doe investigation?
Yeah, it is pretty complicated when you start stepping back through all the John Does, right? Because we just heard last month that this investigation that was more commonly known as John Doe 2 was closed by the state Supreme Court. That involved the question of whether or not Governor Walker's campaign had illegally coordinated with conservative groups during the recall. And the court said that essentially said that any state rules that forbade what they did were unconstitutional, and so no crime was committed. This is a completely different John Doe. This was the one that was started when Scott Walker was still Milwaukee County Executive. It was closed in 2013. The only reason that it's being brought up right now is that Cynthia Archer, a longtime Walker aide in Milwaukee County who followed him to state government, has filed a lawsuit against prosecutors in that case, saying that they violated her constitutional rights. And so these court filings that were previously sealed are now coming out into public. And that's how we're learning that prosecutors at the time thought they had probable cause that the governor, then county executive, had committed a crime. And so that was part of their search warrant when they wanted to search Cynthia Archer's home.
Now, this particular part of John Doe involved a real estate deal, bidding for real estate. No one was ultimately charged or convicted of that as part of this investigation. There were other convictions related to that John Doe, not over this real estate thing. Do I have that right?
You have that exactly right. Yes. Cynthia Archer, whose home was searched, who filed this lawsuit, was not charged. Scott Walker was not charged. That John Doe investigation, you know, we'll call it John Doe 1, did net several other charges. I mean, longtime Walker aide went to jail for embezzling funds that were raised to help veterans. Another Walker aide went to jail for raising campaign money on county time. So it was not a fruitless investigation, but when it comes to this, you know, leg of the investigation over whether or not there was bid rigging for this county agency, where to house it in a private building, nothing ever came of it. I mean, they did go through Cynthia Archer's house. They interviewed her. They thought they had something, but they didn't charge, meaning they didn't have something that would hold up in court of law.
A lot of attention to these new documents involved who knew what when. Now Governor Walker had denied he was being targeted in the investigation at the time that he was the subject of the investigation. It turns out that he was. What are people making of that as reporters are talking about this, as people are responding to the story?
Well, I mean, Democrats are saying, I told you so, essentially, because during this whole process, the governor set up a criminal defense fund, a legal defense fund, and he was asked, I mean, does that mean, you know, because you're doing this, does that mean that you're the target of the investigation? He said he was not, and he used pretty strong words to say that he was not the target, that it was that was all sort of being made up as an effort to discredit him. You know, this search warrant shows that they were in fact looking into him. So you know, whether or not he knew at that time that he was asked if he was the target, I don't know if we know that with 100% certainty. We do know, though, that they were looking into him. And, you know, he was concerned about it enough that he set up a criminal defense fund at the time. You mentioned, I mean, the governor's supporters, the governor's campaign are saying, look at the timing of this. It's being released in, you know, right as we get up to these debates. But again, these are documents that we would not have seen had not a longtime Walker aide filed this federal lawsuit that is really digging up this case that had been closed for more than 2 years.
We're talking to WPR State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson about newly released documents from John Doe 1, the first investigation involving some of Governor Walker's staff. Initially, it turns out he was the subject of an investigation. No charges were filed against him in that instance. So, Sean, these documents are coming out. This is going to affect that Cynthia Archer lawsuit. You know, these charges aren't going to be refiled. These cases aren't going to be reopened. Do you think, though, that the impact today may be on the politics of today?
You know, on the governor's campaign? I don't know. I mean, I don't see the national media really seizing on this. And it could be because, you know, the case is, you know, the stories that I've seen written on this note, the case is closed. These are not new charges being brought out. They were actually charges that were never formally brought in court. You know, that it hasn't kind of caught on in the national media immediately. And
this does come, Sean, though, at a time where there's talk of changing the government accountability board in Wisconsin and reforming the John Doe laws, and concerns. Republicans say that, hey, this is a Democratic district attorney, John Chisholm in Milwaukee, using this John Doe law to target Republicans. Is that element of this going to give a little more fire to efforts to change the John Doe laws?
I think when they bring that up, efforts to change the John Doe laws, all of this will definitely add fuel to that fire. It's going to be a pretty charged, I think, discussion once they move forward with that, possibly as soon as this fall, not only changing the John Doe laws, which were the laws that they used in this investigation to, you know, find out information, find out whether or not they wanted to charge. But also, as you mentioned, they're talking about changing the Government Accountability Board from, you know, a nonpartisan model, possibly to more partisan appointees. You know, all of that is going to be looked at against this backdrop of how were those tools used in this case with the governor.
And one thing I've seen out in the blogosphere is that, hey, this proves that the point of the John Doe law as it stands is false. The idea that, okay, it can be used to investigate public figures without damaging their reputations if they're not ultimately charged. Well, they're saying this information keeps coming out, leaked one court ruling or another. So the idea that this is a secret thing in the long run hasn't panned out, has it?
It hasn't. I mean, there have been plenty of leaks that have come out. I mean, this case has been pretty widely reported by different outlets. Some conservative news outlets have been giving stuff before it's been formally made public. The Journal Sentinel has been out in front of a lot of these stories, you know, reporting them before they're officially public news. I would argue, though, that these documents that are coming out right now are a little bit different of a case. And, I mean, they're coming out in response to a federal lawsuit that is going after these prosecutors and saying that they violated Cindy Archer's constitutional rights. These prosecutors are now responding and saying, well, actually, here's what we were doing.
And you mentioned, Sean, John Doe 2, the state Supreme Court put an end to that last month. I think maybe a lot of people, maybe myself included, thought, okay, that's about all we're going to hear about John Doe now for a while, except maybe efforts to reform it. Do you think we're going to keep getting more bits of information that keep bringing it back to the forefront like this?
I think if this lawsuit is still in front of us involving John Doe 1 and Cynthia Archer, that is something that where you could see stuff keep trickling out potentially. Also, another piece of news that we're going to be watching with John Doe 2, you know, that case looks like it's done, but the special prosecutor has asked the state Supreme Court to reconsider its ruling and to stay its ruling. It could be a formality. I don't think anybody expects the state Supreme Court to say, gosh, all right, you know, we got it wrong the first time. There is a possibility, though, that the special prosecutor in John Doe 2 could ask the U.S. Supreme Court to consider an appeal in that case. If the prosecutor went that route in that case, it would be on the grounds of two of the judges or justices in that case, received significant support from the conservative groups who were at the center of that campaign, that they benefited from those conservative groups in their elections. So the prosecutor might decide to ask the U.S. Supreme Court to get involved in that way, but that would be a long shot.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us.
You're welcome.
That's Sean Johnson, WPR State Capitol reporter, talking about the John Doe investigation. New documents out made public yesterday showing that Governor Walker initially had been investigated for a possible felony offense in 2011, something he had previously denied.